I'm delighted to be joined by such a distinguished panel of experts and grateful to the Wilson Center for bringing us together on this important topic of discussion. I wanted to mention that my remarks today are largely based on a report that our institute published last October in anticipation of COP21 called Women in Climate Change, Impact and Agency in Human Rights, Development and Security. There were some copies available outside, but the remarks that I'm going to make are framed around that issue area in addition to environmental degradation. And thank you for talking about both the impact on women as well as the agency of women, because that's certainly something I will touch on. For those of you who may not be as familiar, the Institute for Women, Peace, and Security at Georgetown University highlights and examines the roles and experiences of women in peace and security efforts worldwide. The overwhelming majority of our work focuses on violent conflict, peace and security, and the disproportionate and unique impacts on women, as well as the ways in which women can do and seek to influence peace and security processes. So our foray into this issue of climate change, environmental degradation, and conservation was strongly inspired by UN Special Envoy for Climate Change, Mary Robinson, who's on our board, and when she was appointed to this role, strongly encouraged us to bring some of our expertise on women, peace, and security to bear on this issue as well. And so the Institute decided to take on the challenge of focusing on this issue in a dedicated way. We knew that women are forgotten in terms of climate change adaptation and mitigation initiatives all too often, or when they are considered, they're perceived as perpetual victims and merely beneficiaries of assistance. At the same time, we realized that there was very little research and analysis that examines women's agency and the gendered impacts of environmental degradation and climate change. And what does exist is largely produced by civil society organizations, many of which are represented in this room today based on their experiences on the ground. So we view this issue as one of human rights, of economic development, and international security. This is a holistic and multifaceted approach. We thought it was important to do so because all too often these issues are written off as or classified simply as scientific ones, when we all know that it's so much more than that. In fact, a seminal report by the German Advisory Council on Global Change, published in 2007, identified four key variables that are likely to cause violent conflict, political upheaval, and humanitarian crises in the future. These were food insecurity, natural disasters, water scarcity, and migration due to environmental factors. All of these are inextricably linked to climate change and environmental degradation. As a cross-cutting issue, these climate change and environmental degradation intersect with population growth, human mobility, urbanization, and food, water, and energy insecurity. And all of these have specific gender dimensions, increased vulnerabilities for women and girls in unique and disproportionate ways, but also require tapping the potential and leadership of women and girls to have sustainable and scalable solutions. I think what's also important to note for the purposes of this conversation is how increasingly political instability is intersecting with issues of environmental degradation and climate change, as well as the increase in natural disasters. What you have, in essence, is a volatile mix, and there are very important gendered dimensions of instability and insecurity that are brought on by violence as well as causing violence. So to talk a little bit about the impact on women and girls, this is true in terms of both slow onset manifestations as well as rapid onset disasters. Women and girls, as we all know, are predominantly in charge of unpaid household chores and caregiving in less economically developed countries, and especially in rural settings. Their lives are more directly affected by the issues that we're talking about today. And as we also know, domestic duties require more time as a result of environmental degradation and climate change, whether that's due to water shortages, the collection of firewood for energy, deforestation, and loss of land and displacement, to name a few. Women make up the majority of smallhold farmers around the world, and they are in many ways the backbone of the global agricultural workforce. Failing to address women's needs in climate change policy threatens global food security. We know that 31 million girls of primary school age are out of school, 34 million girls of adolescent age are out of school, and that two-thirds of the 775 million people who are illiterate around the world are female. Women are also more likely to die during and in the aftermath of disaster because they're less likely to have access to early warning monitors, less likely to have survival skills or the freedom of movement. And in the aftermath of disasters, women's socioeconomic marginalization increases their vulnerability, something, for example, like lack of legal identity and the ability to access services as a result of that. So our report covers a wide variety of manifestations, including sea level rise and flooding, land erosion, desertification, deforestation, ocean acidification, and water scarcity, to name a few. In all of these scenarios, women and girls shoulder the responsibility for procuring resources for their families, and they also confront heightened risks to their physical, mental, and economic safety. Women and children collectively spend 140 million hours a day collecting water for their communities, resulting in lost productive potential. They also are in charge of about 60 to 80% of procurement of firewood in sub-Saharan Africa. While many families may choose to migrate and others may be forced to gain more secure livelihoods and a safer living space, displacement can be very dangerous for women and girls in particular who may be forced to trade sex with border guards for permission to pass, greater risk of being trafficked for sex work or other bonded labor, and exploitation in general. As financial resources dwindle, girls may be forced to marry early or marry young at increasingly younger ages. And finally, human trafficking is prevalent in the aftermath of disasters, especially when communities are also affected by poverty and impoverished. So that lays out some of the impacts and the vulnerabilities, but I wanted to take the remainder of my time to talk about agency and solutions. While women do face unique and disproportionate burdens, they are also agents with important perspectives and indigenous knowledge which can inform and influence solutions to address these issues. In many communities around the world, as all of you know, women are already having to adapt their lives to survive and to care for their dependents. I wanted to highlight a few examples from our report that also intersect with political instability and fragile contexts. So for example, in Mali, the Sinsibere Cooperative, a group of 300 women from a village south of Bamako, is working to combat local deforestation and develop resilience to climate change and environmental degradation and natural resource constraints. While the sale of firewood is an important source of income for rural women, wood cutting leads to deforestation and desertification. Sinsibere seeks to combat these issues by providing environmental education and alternative livelihoods to women by setting up microcredit systems and providing training in other trades. Thanks to this project, women have come together across villages to provide each other with a support network and also take on new responsibilities outside the home and to increase their economic independence. Another example can be found in Iztapa, Guatemala, where women farmers have partnered with the Alianza Internacional de Reforestación to plant and farm trees, which addresses not only that particular issue, but also the one of carbon emissions in terms of using firewood for cooking. And I'm sure all of you know about the Global Alliance for Clean Cook Stoves, which is another incredible organization using public-private partnerships to address not only environmental issue, but also the leading cause of death for women in the developing world. Socioeconomically and conscious scientific research is also making headway. So another innovative example is these books that have been developed recently by a professor at McGill University called Drinkable Books, which essentially allow you to produce clean water, but also address the issue of illiteracy and the access to education gap. So there too, we see that when you work across sectors, there's enormous potential, but that we need to bring things to scale. One more example is related to energy poverty, and in particular, Grameen Shakti, which grew out of the Grameen Bank, which literally in Bengali, and Bengali means village energy, where the installation of 800,000 solar home units in Bangladesh has been led by women solar technicians who sign annual contracts with homeowners to maintain and service solar units. Here, you're not only providing energy access, clean energy access to about 1 million households, you're providing women with a livelihood and profession in an industry that's male-dominated. Again, these are examples that need to be brought to scale and that have the potential to be replicated across countries. Finally, national action plans. We all know about national action plans for women, peace, and security, but another important instrument that exists are climate change gender action plans. And these were similar processes that have been developed to allow states to address their climate change and environmental degradation needs, but also to address political instability, women's empowerment, and economic sustainability. So I encourage you to take a look at that. I'm happy to answer any questions about those. I'll close by saying that there's much overlap between the 1325 framework in terms of women, peace, and security and the pillars of protection for women from violence and insecurity, the participation of women in conflict resolution and decision making, and the prevention of conflict and insecurity through women's leadership and participation. Those same principles very much apply and objectives apply to the issues we're talking about in terms of environmental degradation and conservation, and there's a dire need to come together and apply across sectors and across frameworks. Thanks so much.